Good morning, West Hill Community Church. It's lovely for me to be joining you and to share God's word with you this morning. And I really appreciate the opportunity to do this. I'm really sorry that I cannot be with you. I would very much have enjoyed coming up to Aberdeen, but for obvious reasons, it's not possible to do that right now. And I hope that it will be possible in the not too distant future. But for now, know that you are very much, as a church and as people, very much in the prayers of the church that I serve, St. Thomas's in Edinburgh. We regard ourselves as being in partnership with you in making the gospel known. So it's great to be here. It's great to be sharing with you. I am in my man cave. At the rectory of St. Thomas's. This is where I have been based for the last 6 months, and I've been putting out material online on a regular basis most days. Ministers have had to learn how to communicate and how to speak in a different way. And we've had to be careful in what we said as well. And that brings me to what I've been asked to speak about today, that great passage from James, the letter of James, chapter 3. You've been doing a series on communication, and it's important, and the importance of getting that right, speaking well, communicating well, listening well. And today we're thinking about the power of the tongue. It's very easy for us in our culture to say the wrong thing to say the wrong thing in the wrong way at the wrong time, to get it completely and utterly wrong. I love the story about Jack. Jack was an office worker, and he went to his office Christmas party, and not someone given to drinking alcohol very much. Unfortunately, he drank a little bit too much at that party, and didn't understand what was going on, because he was drinking stuff that didn't taste like alcohol. He didn't particularly like the taste of alcohol, but he got drunk. He got steaming, basically, and somehow managed to get home. And the next morning, he woke up in his bed, and feeling just terrible. He just had a blasting headache and just felt really, really horrible. And he looked over to where his wife should have been, and she wasn't there. But by his side, at the bedside table, there was a glass of water and two aspirin. And there was also a little vase. And in the vase was a fresh, single red rose. So he thought, that's interesting that all of that's there. So he struggled. He got himself up and got out of bed and went to the bathroom and thought, right, I better get myself ready. And he looked in the mirror, and there he saw himself and what state he was in. He had a huge black eye. He thought, oh, this is terrible. I must have been in such a terrible state last night. And written on the mirror in lipstick, there was a message. There were little hearts drawn in lipstick, and there was a message saying, "Dear Jack, your breakfast is ready in the kitchen. It's on the cooker, and it's ready for you, just to keep him warm. And I've made some fresh coffee, your favourite coffee. There's a fresh brew there available for you. And I've just gone out to the shops and to get some food for tonight to make you your favourite meal. Love, Jill." She thought, well, what's going on here? She's been really nice to me. What on earth has happened? So he stumbles down, manages to get to breakfast table, and his son is there. And sure enough, breakfast is on the table. There's his favourite breakfast is available to him, and he's got coffee. And he turns to his son and says, "Look, son, what's going on here? I mean, what happened last night?" And the son says, "Well, Dad, you came home, you were absolutely outrageously drunk. I mean, it was just awful. You were just awful. You were stumbling about the place. You were incoherent. You fell over. You smashed Mum's favourite glass coffee table when you fell on it. Then you banged your face on the door of the hallway. And that's how you got your black eye." And he said, but son, if it was so terrible and things were so awful, why has she been so nice to me? Oh, well, you need to understand what happened. When mum just thought, it's time to get you into your bed. So she was trying to take your trousers off to get you undressed, to get you into bed. And as she was doing that, you started screaming at the top of your voice, leave me alone. I'm a married man. Broken coffee table, £250. Cooked breakfast, £5. 2 aspirin, 40p. The right words at the right time, priceless. You see, we can say the right thing and the good thing, or we can do the opposite of that and say things which are not going to be helpful and destructive. And James writes into that context. He's really conscious of that words can hurt. And in community, when we are part of one another, the words we use with one another can be for good or can be for ill. And so he's writing into that context. The first thing he says is he talks about the power of words in the public square, if you like. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers. Oh, what a responsibility it is to handle the word of God rightly. It's a huge responsibility because those who do it are going to face greater judgment. Now, you know, at one level, we're saying we understand that those who are teachers of the word are going to face greater judgment from the Lord. We have a responsibility before the Lord to get that right. I just want to take a bit of a lateral think about that as well. Because whenever a preacher gets up, one of the things that is happening, and one of the things that's happening right now as you listen to me, is you are judging what it is that is being said. You're making a judgment. You're making a judgment about who I am and what I'm doing, but you're also making a judgment rightly as to whether this is what I'm saying is coming from the Lord or not. So I think what James is saying is there's a pressure on the preacher to get it right. And anybody who wants to be a preacher, it's a worthy thing, it's a worthy calling, but I will seek to discourage. If you want to be a preacher because you want to be up front and you want to talk to people, a bunch of people, because you're a bit of a narcissist, you should not be a preacher. The purpose of preaching is to speak the word of God, the very word of God, to the people of God. What a privilege and what an honor it is. And we should pray for our preachers. We should pray for them as they're preparing, that they will honor the Lord, they'll honor Jesus in what they say and what they offer, as I know that you'll have been praying for this preach today. So that's the first thing to be aware of. As we think about the subject of the tongue. It then says, we all stumble in many ways. I love this, that we are, we're all human. We all get it wrong. We make mistakes. Your preachers will get it wrong and you will get it wrong. We will say and do, the wrong thing at times. We are, you know, the Bible tells us, Hebrews tells us that Jesus was like us in every way, but was without sin. So Jesus is like us, but he didn't sin. But the rest of us, we are all flawed human beings. There is only one who is perfect. It is the Lord Jesus himself. And it's him we're worshipping today. But the rest of us, well, we're going to get it wrong and we will sometimes make a mistake in what we say. Anyone who's never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. We will find it so often the case that we will speak in ways which are unhelpful and are destructive. Now, this is compounded in our culture, I think, because the time at which James was writing was different from ours. Obviously, it was a different time. But one of the things that is a problem for us, I think, when it comes to speaking, is when we talk about the tongue and the power of the tongue, it's not just like me speaking to you now. We've got this thing called reading and writing. You know, reading and writing was the preserve of the wealthy. And most people down through history were unable to read or write. It's just not something they did. Whereas now, most of us have that ability to read and write. And of course, with the spread of things like email and social media, we are able to speak out what it is that we're thinking. We're able to react, not just with our tongue, but in the form of writing as well, or typing. Now, that brings all sorts of problems, doesn't it? When you ever get an email that annoys you, the temptation to respond to that quickly, particularly if it's something that's angered you, is so great. The temptation is so great. And we need to be really careful about that, not to respond to an email. I find when someone sends me an email that annoys me, or they're annoyed with me and I need to react, is not to respond to it. Sometimes never to respond to it, but sometimes to take some time, a day or 2 days, before responding. And if you ever do end up writing an email, don't make sure that your internet connection is off, so that you don't send it inadvertently, but check and double check that you're saying something that is going to be helpful and isn't just pure reaction and isn't anger and isn't destructive. So easy to fire off a message like that. Similarly with social media, you know, if you're on social media, if you're on Facebook or Twitter, you know, everybody throws in what they think, like our opinions about stuff really matter, and that people are really interested in what I have to say and think. But everyone now is a commentator. And in the Christian world, we are guilty as this is as well. We can so easily comment. We can so easily say something that will cause trouble. And we need to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. Let me give you an example of this. So I read a story this week about a leader of a church in England who commented on something in his community had been cancelled. The church did not believe was in keeping with what the Bible teaches. And this event had been cancelled. And it so happened the church had been praying that it might be cancelled. So it was an answer to prayer. But when it was put in the public sphere that this thing had been cancelled, this pastor wrote, "Wonderful news." And there was a reaction to that, and particularly from the community who were affected by the thing not happening, the event not happening. They took umbrage at that and involved the police and all sorts of things, and it caused a furore. Now, you know, we need to take stands on things. You as a congregation, like us, have taken stand on matters that are really important in biblical terms. But we need to know how to pitch that and how to speak that. You know, there are things that, particularly in the life of the church, we need to stand up and say, you know, this is not acceptable behaviour in the church. We need to be firm on that. But when we're dealing with the world, we need to be much cannier and much more careful what we speak out and how we speak out about it, because people will react and people will seek to cause trouble in a way that we wouldn't get away with necessarily if it was us taking offence at stuff that was being said about the Lord or about Christians. We wouldn't get the same purchase, we wouldn't get the same reaction, but there are groups who will get, who will react and will stir things up. And we need to make a judgement. We need to be careful about how we use language and what we say publicly. Both in our meetings, but also in the online stuff that we put in, the stuff that we publish as well. So, and we're all in that situation now. We need to be careful from a political point of view, but we also need to be careful just in how we relate to one another. When we write stuff to one another, ask the question, is this going to be received in love? Is it going to be heard for the heart that's behind it of love and care, or am I just reacting in anger? James goes on, he uses different examples now about the power of the tongue to influence. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. So there's a tumbling sequence of pictures that James is trying to get his listeners, his readers, to understand the power of the tongue to cause great things to happen, to steer an animal, to steer a ship in the right direction that it needs to go. But the tongue is like a fire. It can cause immense destruction. And if we pause for a moment and just think about how that works. So, you know, the Bible tells us not to exasperate our children, you know, if we're parents, to be careful in what we say, not to exasperate our those who are in our care, our children. And we're told to respect our parents, you know, if we're children, to respect our parents. You think about the times when maybe as a young person, you've disrespected your parents by what you've said. Or you think about the time as a parent that you have done that with your, you've upset your children. You haven't loved them by what you've said. You haven't been encouraging or supportive enough in the words that you've used with them. All of us will have experienced that or done that. Or you think about husbands and wives, you know, and the Bible tells us again, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And there's a mutuality in that as well. It's a two-way thing as wives work with their husbands. There's a mutual love and mutual giving of self. And, you know, and it's not, it's a physical thing, but it's also an emotional thing. And the words we use with one another and the listening that we give to one another is very significant. Part of the communication thing that you've been learning about is the power of listening. I love that thing of we've got 2 ears and one mouth so that we listen twice as much as we speak. And there's something really powerful in that we need to listen to one another. And the words that we use with one another, we need to be gentle and caring and loving and building one another up. And in marriages, one of the reasons that marriages turn cold or go sour is that we lose that or we forget to keep on doing that day after day after day. One of the things in lockdown that we have been experiencing as we go for a morning walk. Day one of lockdown, we decided we were going to do our exercise first thing in the morning. We were going out of the house at 6 o'clock in the morning and going for a walk. And some of that is just walking in silence, but it's usually a time of reflecting on the day that was yesterday, but also talking about what each of us is going to be doing today and listening to one another. I mean, sometimes we do that perfectly and sometimes we do it less perfectly, but there's been a joyful discipline in doing that. We're still doing that most days. Some days we have a lie in bed rest, but most days we're out there and we do a 5 mile walk, and it's an opportunity to speak and to listen. And I would encourage you, if you're married, to look at how much are you doing that during these difficult times. It's probably more important than ever that we're able to do that. Because when you live with someone, the temptation to speak badly to one another, to say the wrong thing at the wrong time is so great. To lash out when things don't go the way you want, because essentially we're selfish, to speak out in anger. And so we need to nurture one another and aid one another and help one another to be the best that we can be. That is the God-honoring thing to do. So ask yourself that question this morning of how you are using your tongue in powerful ways. James goes on. He says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. And then he says this, he says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father. And that's the power of the tongue, isn't it? It's wonderful if we have the power of speech. And one of the difficulties we have when we start meeting in church, we began meeting in church again for the first time last Sunday morning. And one of the things we can't do when we meet together, there's several things that we can't do, but one of the things we can't do is we're not supposed to sing. And we informed everybody of this, that we weren't able to sing. And we'd arranged to say a psalm. We said Psalm 146 so that people online could say the psalm. and people in the church could say the psalm rather than sing it. But we also had two songs that came up on the screen, and it was really hard not to sing "Thine Be the Glory in Christ Alone." It was really hard not to sing. And it was wonderful looking out, and there's some people have their hands in the air. Even though they can't sing, they're still worshipping. But it's a natural thing. With our tongues, we want to praise the Lord for his goodness to us. That's what one of the difficult things about not being able to return to public worship, that we have to recognise the limitations that have been put on us. Please God, may that change soon, that we'll be able to worship in song together again. We are able to worship the Lord in song. And there's something powerful in that, the act of worship and expressing our love for God. But notice what James says. He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings. So we can go from worshipping the Lord with our tongue one on Sunday and then leave church and do that hypocritical thing and just behave really badly towards other people and speak badly. You see, well, one of the worst things we can do, gossips are... It's a terrible problem in the church, isn't it? People who gossip and talk about one another are particularly bad when we are nice to people to their face, and then when they're out of sight, we talk about them badly to others. And it's the same tongue that utters these things. Oh, praise the Lord. Did you hear about X? It's just shocking, isn't it, when it's put like that. And all of us, or many of us, will have had that sort of hypocrisy going on in our lives. It's awful that that's the case. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, James says. And then he says, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. And he uses another picture. He's a great one for using pictures. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You see, what comes out of our mouth reveals what's in our hearts. You know, just as how we spend our money and how we give our money, how we share our money reveals what's in our hearts, so what comes out of our mouth reveals what's going on in our hearts. And some people, you know, when people use bad language, it's sometimes described as being salty. You know, that your language is a bit salty. And salt, you know, if you've ever tasted salt water, it's not a pleasant thing. In fact, it's very dangerous. If you're in a shipwreck and you start drinking salt water, you'll very quickly get ill and go mad. It's not a healthy thing to do. So the question for us is, are we going to be fresh water, like Jesus is living water to the soul? Or will we be fresh water to people, or will we be salty water? You know, the number of people in church who are salty because they're bitter, you know, they're bitter people. It surprises me sometimes that people get locked into the stuff that has happened. You know, down through the years, as a minister, bad things have happened to me. People have said and done things which have been really difficult and painful. And I could hold on to those. And if I did, I would become a bitter person. I need to let go of that so that bitterness is not what comes out through me. I want to be a channel for the living water of Jesus to others. And I want to bear good fruit. I want to bear fruit that is going to last and fruit that's going to be tasty to people, to be winsome. So today, we have choices to make about what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. Your tongue is a powerful thing. So be careful in what you write. Be careful in how you respond. Love people. Care for people. Affirm people. Encourage people as much as you can. Stand up for the truth and speak the truth, but do it in wisdom and carefully, with passion and compassion, and make a difference where you are. We pray for West Hill Community Church. You are our brothers and sisters. We love you. I long for the day of being able to come and visit with you, and I long to come and visit and just hear how your words are being used by the Lord to draw people to him. May God bless you today. I'm going to pray as I end, and may this prayer be helpful to you and draw you closer to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I pray for my friends at West Hill. Thank you for them. I want to pray that you would help them as you use the gift of the tongue that you have given to them. Lord, continue to help them to worship as they begin to think about the possibility of gathering in some way again. I pray that that desire to express worship together as the community would be a really powerful thing, and that you would call people back. And pray for those who may be struggling with the concept of returning to church. I know that it's become quite hard. People, we've got into a habit of not gathering and being able to watch church online in our jammies with our coffee. And it takes a little bit of discipline to get back into the way of meeting together. But we need to be together. We're called to be the people of God. We're called to love one another. We're called to encourage one another. So help West Hills as they begin to think about how they might begin to shape that and what that might look like. And Lord, I pray for people today, people who maybe have been hurt by words in the past, help them to forgive. I pray for those who have said harsh words, written harsh words this week. Help them to turn in repentance away from that, to offer sorrow to you and maybe to those that have been hurt by the words that have been said. I pray for husbands and wives, Lord, that they would be tender and sensitive and caring, that they would offer words and deeds of love, that their tongues would be full of words of care and adoration for one another today. And if there needs to be forgiveness, may couples turn to one another and turn to you and seek that for one another and seek that forgiveness from you. I pray for children today and parents. May the words that are offered today be words full of love and tenderness and encouragement. And again, if there needs to be forgiveness, help us to get on our knees and to seek that from you and from one another. Lord, we pray for those who are leading West Hill, for the words that they will share, both online and in written form, that those words would be carefully chosen, inspired by your Holy Spirit. And we pray for our culture and our society, for governments and for those who are worried about what is happening around us, that the words that all of us utter would be careful words chosen carefully and expressed with care and love. And we pray that we would be sensitive to one another and that what we speak would be words that honour you and glorify you. And this I pray, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you everyone for listening to this morning. I hope it has been helpful. If we at St. Thomas's in Edinburgh can be of any help to you, we would love to do that. We want to walk with you and continue to support you. And I look forward to coming up to Aberdeen at some point and visiting with you again, if I get an invitation to come. So God bless you. May you know Lord's love and care today in all that you do. Thanks for listening.